Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Brewers fans, thank you for making the switch after the last pitch to this show. Welcome to the Bayview Shade and Blind Baseball Postgame Show, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag Admirals50. Now, live from the Fan Postgame Studios, here's the franchise, Tim Allen, and Bill Baby Tausch Schmid.
It is a final from Miller Park, and the results tonight are not good. A Brewers 2-1 loss, and welcome everybody to the Bayview Shade and Blind Postgame Show, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag Admirals50. Tim and Tausch here on a Wednesday, and the Polish Pipe Bomb makes his return in tonight as well, as the Brewers muster up a grand total of a single run on three hits. And the strikeouts, man, the strikeouts yesterday. You get away with that one yesterday with a victory, but yeah, you don't get away with it tonight. About 38 strikeouts in this game. Ouch.
Yeah, about a strikeout per 1,000 people at Miller Park. Miller Park was electric again tonight, Timmy, and at some point, I hate giving the warning flare out, but they were going to lose a game still here on the way out. They might lose two in a row, and that one's going to be tough. They were going to lose a game. It hurts that it's today, but tomorrow is huge because you do not want to all of a sudden blink and be in the middle of splitting a four-game set with the San Diego Padres.
Agreed, and this one's tough because the St. Louis Cardinals do end up winning their ball game today. So you're three back in the division now with those 10 games remaining and an 70 mark so far this season. So that's the biggest blow of this loss, is that you're back to three games out. And again, the schedule is going to be somewhat favorable as long as the Cubs and Cardinals play a competitive series. I think that's what it comes down to in those seven of their last 10 games. But tough to win baseball games when you get three hits. But the pitching staff, Billy, did their job tonight. They all did. They give up a couple of runs. That was it. Adrian Hauser, just the two runs. One little blemish there in that third inning, and that was after he tweaked something in his back there. And we all know what we thought initially when the trainer and counsel were heading to the mound when it's Adrian Hauser out there.
Are you kidding me? Oh, no, stop. I wasn't thinking he was going to puke. Okay, well, maybe I was. But the toughest part is you just get Brandon Woodruff back, and you watch these two guys go out there with Hauser, who arguably has been your most consistent starter all year long, that when he's been in the rotation. I was hollering for him to be out of the game right there, Tim. I don't know about you, and they know more about his body than I do, and so does Adrian Hauser, knows more about himself than anybody else. But at that point, that situation, I'm like, dude, you got the reinforcements. Craig, this is what you're asking for. The earlier you could go pull somebody, the better. Go use your bullpen and go have fun.
He made some good moves in this game. Guys, he really did. And moves that I did not agree with when they were happening, and we'll get to that. Those are the corrections of the game with Milwaukee County House of Correction. I didn't agree with a couple of things, one of which is that err on the side of caution here. I mean, it is, and no offense to the San Diego Padres, but they're still the San Diego Padres. If there's a little wiggle room here, it might be against the San Diego Padres. Before we get to our game recap, I just, 38,235 at Miller Park tonight. First of all, very impressive, and that is super cool. But it's starting to get a little comical with this Manny Machado thing, isn't it?
It's great
every
stuff.
Every time he comes up, it's just, are you kidding me? They are just letting him have it. I am super, super excited about Brewers fans just laying it to him.
And they're relentless with it. In the ninth inning, or when he came up with men on, it was just relentless. The entire time, every single time the dude takes a breath, he's catching a boo from a Brewers fan.
Let's get into this game recap. A couple of twists and turns in this one. Brewers, neither team scores in that first inning. Brewers do get the 100th walk of the season for Yasmani Grandal in the bottom of the first inning. But three strikeouts, and that was a bad trend to set. Neither team scores in the second inning. Two more strikeouts for the Brewers' offense. To the third, Padres get on the board. And that's the incident we were talking about. Hauser was getting out of the way, really, of a base hit by Greg Garcia, and he tweaks something in the back, a little delay there. He throws a couple of warm-up pitches, and then your boy hits his first big league home run later on in that inning.
That was
all they needed in this one. It was a two-zip game going into the bottom of the third. Would it have prevented a two-run shot right there had Council gone to the bullpen? So there's one of the corrections of the game with Milwaukee County House of Correction. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe the reliever that does come in for an injured Adrian Hauser gives up much more than two. We don't know on that deal. But what we do know is that Adrian Hauser, after the two-run shot, settled in to complete five innings of two-run ball.
And did his job and continued to do what he's been doing, and that's pitch good baseball and be a bulldog out there. That's really the key to it, Tim. He's been a bulldog whenever they've needed him, and he's given them exactly what Craig Council and the staff could have possibly asked for, a guy getting into himself and becoming himself in this pennant race, right? Like this is a young dude that's after a surgery. He's battled back to get to where he is, and now in the biggest moment of his career, he's producing at a good clip, and he did exactly that same thing tonight.
Yeah, you couldn't ask for much more out of Adrian Hauser. I agree. Five innings, just a couple of runs. Brewers had a chance in the third inning. By the way, walks to Hauser. That was cool. And Trent Grisham was just one out. But big strikeouts, and just the strikeout ball was working for their guys. And we have to, I mean, we've got to credit that dude, because he strikes out then Grandal and Moustakas to end that threat. And there's a little bit of a turning point right there with Great Lakes Dragaway, the bottom of the third inning. Hauser, again, a scoreless fourth. Ben Gamel breaks up the no-hitter with an infield base hit. I'll tell you what, Nelson B. DeMille, or whoever was pitching for San Diego, he has a no-hitter going in the fourth inning, Billy. If I were on the mound and Greg Garcia had an effort like that with a no-no on the board, I would have lost my mind. Dude plays up on a bouncer, just a little trickler on the infield, really a little flare on the infield off the bat of Ben Gamel. And he should charge that ball and lay out for it. That's just a baseball thing.
When you've been injured,
in my world, where I kind of watch those things, you got to make a play there if you're Greg Garcia.
You would have just been cussing him out right from the mound, been laying into him over there.
What are you doing?
Come on, striking out.
Just about everybody I face here, and you have an effort like that, please. Hauser finishes up that outing in the top of the fifth. Scoreless frame, giving up just a couple of runs. Crew, bottom of the fifth inning. Leadoff base hit by Arcia. Shaw to pinch hit for Hauser.
Whoops. Now, there it is. You cannot tell me that you were feeling overly confident in that situation with Travis Shaw. I understand what happened the other night, but come on.
Yes.
I mean, come on. Were you in a situation where you were pumping your fist that it was Travis Shaw?
Not against that guy. Not against when he's got the strikeout ball working, which he definitely did. Shaw stood no chance tonight.
It was 0-2 count again right away. I mean, immediately. You tip me off to this, but it is real. Whenever Travis Shaw is in an at bat, I mean, it is almost 0-2 immediately right when he walks up.
Grisham strikes out after Shaw, and 11 strikeouts for the Brewers offense through five innings of work. Into the sixth inning, Devin Williams gives up a leadoff base hit to the pitcher, but then a strikeout pop-up and then a big strikeout to Manny Machado right there. Could be a turning point in this game is what I was thinking right there with Great Lakes Dragaway. Didn't turn out to be that. Brewers get a bit closer in the bottom of the sixth inning. Welcome back to the starting lineup again for Keston Hira.
1-0 to Hira. And a high fly ball into right field. Way back. Keston Hira sends one into the Lowe's level. A solo shot, and the Brewers are on the board.
Well, they're in the game at 2-1, 14 punch-outs through six innings of work. That's a possible 18 outs, folks, and they struck out 14 of those outs. Tough to win ball games like that. Seventh inning, leadoff double by Hosmer off Williams, but I think they may have changed that to an error. I'm not sure quite yet, but Spangenberg, I think, he had a little bit of an issue out there. But Jay Jackson... J.J. comes through. He does have a walk in there, but struck out the side. He strikes out two, gets a ground ball to end that threat, and Miller Park faithful just going crazy at that time. Here's where it gets interesting. Bottom of the seventh inning, leadoff walk to Spangenberg. Hats off to Craig Counsell again. We're going to play for a run right here. How about the bunt, sacrifice, successful by Orlando Arcia, runner at second base. Lorenzo Cain to pinch hit right there. A ground ball as Spangenberg moves to third base. Two outs and Trent Grisham at the plate. He's working it, and he's working some more. And, yeah, I know there's a lot of strikeouts in this game tonight, but this one may have been the most amazing of all the strikeouts.
Tying run at third, the speedy Spangenberg. 1-2 pitch, Grisham strikes out. And Mejia, low throw, and it gets away! Oh, my goodness! Spangenberg scores the tying run. The Padres are saying he was out of the baseline. And the umpires will gather. This is going to be an interesting call here.
I think they're talking about the ball hitting the foot of Grisham or the bat, one of the two.
Andy Green popped out of that dugout immediately. The crew chief in this conversation is Jerry Meals. And the call is out.
Yeah.
And now Craig Counsell wants an explanation, asking if you can review this play. Again, I'm not sure exactly what the argument is, but Mejia's throw.
I'm not quite sure what they're talking about either. I mean,
he was in the baseline.
That's not it.
He hit his foot, and then I don't understand.
No, I don't either. I mean, the bat didn't hit the ball. He didn't kick the ball away. Talking about Grisham.
They're saying that the ball hit Grisham in the box and should have been a dead ball at that point and a strikeout.
Did it hit him in the foot right there? He kicked it with his foot.
That's it.
Yeah.
Kicked it with his foot. So that's it. And now Counsell's in the face of Jerry Meals, and he might get run. Counsell was walking back to the dugout. Jerry Meals kind of followed him in there or toward there. And that's it. 2-1, Padres still lead.
Okay, now, Tim, here's my problem with this. Jerry Meals, buddy, let's wrap over here, Jerry. When the manager is walking back to the dugout,
no doubt,
you shut your mouth. You don't go and start arguing and getting in the face of the manager and then go cry to Major League Baseball about...
aggressive managers.
Right. And conduct that is what was the quote earlier in the year about somebody being too aggressive with umpires, maybe making it a harmful work environment or something. Please shut your mouth. You're done, and now let him go back and let's play baseball. Instead, Jerry Meals has to be little Napoleon over there at second base and walk back into the face of Craig Counsell. Oh, Timmy, I would have been hot. I applaud Craig Counsell for staying in the game.
Well, me too, but he knows, he pretty much knows his limit too, and to distinguish what was going on there, yeah, he turns his back and starts heading toward the dugout. There's not much more he could do.
He walked away. He was, when the manager walks away, that means you shut up, Jerry Meals. Sorry.
Now, I would like to know if they called that a dead ball, like, right away. And it didn't appear that they did.
I thought
the call was late. And that's, I think, and we're going to hear from Craig Counsell, that's what I think would have been his beef on that is, hey, you called this after the fact. Now, did an umpire hear some chirp from Andy Green in that Padres dugout saying, hey, it hit his foot? And then you say, oh, shoot, it did hit his foot. That's a dead ball. Well, the play was already done. Brewers had tied the game up right there. That would be the problem I have. That's the are you kidding me moment of the game. And I guess, you know, what's right is right at the end of the day. And I understand on a swing and a miss and the ball hits you. I mean, if that's the rule, then that's the rule. So make the call right away, because 38,000 plus in Miller Park, along with us, we thought that ball game was tied. Are you kidding me? Moment in the seventh inning.
Yeah, and it's brought to you every night by Gene Wagner Plumbing, celebrating over 50 years in business for any residential, commercial, or industrial plumbing needs. Go to GeneWagnerPlumbing.com.
Junior Guerra, yeah, that was a mess in the seventh inning. Junior Guerra in to pitch the eighth and the ninth, and yeah, the game ends with the winning run at home plate in the form of Ryan Braun. Raise your hand if you thought Bronny was going to do it again, and he would have been godlike status at that point.
Oh, that would have been nuts. I mean, to see that happen and then have Bronny in that situation be able to come up would have been monstrous. I don't even know what you would have been able to call it.
We're going to get an update here with the Polish pipe bomb, Jeff Orlowski. We'll get an update on that Cubs-Reds game. But the Brewers fall. Cardinals win. Brewers three back in the Central. 12 games over 500. 10 games remaining. Cubs and Reds, that's pending right now. We'll get that update. Want to get your reaction here on a tough loss. You get three hits. I don't know if you can say you deserve to win a baseball game with just three hits. And what was the total on strikeouts? 16?
It was 16, Tim.
16 strikeouts for this Brewers offense tonight. About 13 or 14 yesterday. Offense, it would be nice to get hot here. You're listening to the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag Admirals50, Tim and Taos, in a Brewers tough 2-1 loss.
Was it a moonshot or a big line drive? Let's get today's wrench and go drive of the game. Need auto parts? Wrench and Go is a self-service yard. Bring your own tools and access the lowest priced auto parts around. This is the Bayview Shade and Blind Baseball Postgame Show, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Yeah, a tough one at Miller Park tonight, but the crowd, you guys were amazing tonight. Seriously, as the run continues, and we made conversation about this the last few days. Tim and Taos here. You're not going to take it off the sheet, guys. You're not. But it's the 2-1 nail biters like this. They're tough. That's a tough pill to swallow. And you get three hits and a run. It's, yeah, man.
That's why
it's tough to digest, Billy, because it's a 2-1 game. It had been 5-1. Okay, fine.
Yeah, no,
you kind of get over it. But this one on a flat game, and this game was flat. D. Nelson Lamette shut them down. This dude's pretty good. And we're going to be hearing more of that name in Major League Baseball the next few years. But it's just one of those things where you're flat for a half a game. Your pitching staff, all they're asked to do is keep you in the game, give you a shot toward middle and end.
Mm-hmm.
And they did have that shot. They did have that shot, and it was in the sixth inning, down 2-0. You knew if you kept it right there, you'd be one swing from winning a ball game, and that's the way they ended up in the ninth with the wrench and go drive of the game. It was number 17 for number 18.
1-0 to Hira. And a high fly ball into right field, way back. Keston Hira sends one into the Lowe's level. A solo shot, and the Brewers are on the board.
What happened with Brewers fans subscribing to the 2019 championship season? I'm loving that. Monday night, 34+. Tuesday night, 33+. And tonight, 38,000 plus at Miller Park. Wow.
And rumor was that you were able to get tickets from like Quick Trip or something like that during for this series. Like they had bought a bunch of different tickets and then people were just buying them up and paying the processing fee or whatever. That's great. Local businesses jumping along. That's great. But it takes people to then go and go to the game and be loud the entire time and be tuned in the whole time. And that's the part of this that I think is really interesting. Timmy, I was talking about one of your theories and your theory about the connection that the Brewer fan has with the team and the unique relationship that this organization has to the fan base that's different between this and other organizations in pro baseball. With Aaron on the mix earlier in the week, and he was going to the game last night. And he was like, there's something different when you talk about baseball in this town than baseball in other towns, primarily because this baseball team is so fundamentally built into the fabric of the city. And I never really thought about it. And then it dawned on me that, okay, well, the team name is Brewers and we're the beer town. And you continue to look through it and hear and find the tie-ins that the team has with the local community. And it makes sense then to a night like this in the middle of a pennant race when the team is in the middle of one of the best runs the organization has seen, why people are going out in droves to see this team at the end of the year.
And offensively, I have a slight concern here, and someone's going to have to get hot, and it's going to have to be one of the following players, either Trent Grisham or Eric Thames. One of those guys needs to start hitting a baseball. Because I'm not sure, and we talked about this on the On Deck show, Billy, I'm not sure that Ben Gamel might not be a better play right now than Trent Grisham. I understand how hot he was on that road trip, early on that road trip. Had the five-hit game, he was just shy of the cycle, et cetera, et cetera. He looks a little overmatched right now, and he looks like he's in a little bit of a funk. And I'm not sure, and again, this is just me, but just for a few games here, if you have to go a lefty-lefty matchup, which I'm pretty sure they face a lefty at least two of the next three games. If there is a left-handed bat in that lineup, I would prefer it to be Ben Gamel over Trent Grisham.
And you've been beating the drum for Ben Gamel to get more playing time pretty much all year long. I understand it, especially in this sense tonight. When Ben Gamel had a bat in his hand, you expected that he was going to come through.
You did, and with Trent Grisham being his first go-around here in the big leagues, sometimes it gets to be nail-biting status, and it gets to be big stage, because it is big stage now. And we just went over the attendance figures during the week here, guys, right during the week. And granted, team playing well, pennant race will do that for you. But I'm not saying the moment's too big for Trent Grisham, because I know he's a really confident guy. He is, and he keeps his feet sturdy on the ground. But you're seeing him struggle just a little bit. In his last week or so, he's hitting well under 200. And he just looks a little overmatched at times. He still is, I should say, seeing his fair share of pitches. And I'll give him that. I'll give him that he is battling out there. But Ben Gamel has won some baseball games that stick. And he's won some baseball games this year with that bat in his hand against left-handed pitchers. If you've got to go with a left-handed hitter in the equation here the next couple of days, I'd prefer it to be Ben Gamel. Eric Thames, on the other hand, you know, he has to I firmly believe this too. Eric Thames, one swing. It's just one swing that will light that dude on fire. So I'm not as concerned with Eric Thames. Well, one of them overall has to get going here.
Lament, when I was getting ready for the pregame show today, Tim, and reading up on the stuff, it concerned me immediately. Swing and miss stuff. Big time swing and miss potential. The Brewers have that with a lot of their starting pitchers, right? And it's a copycat league. You try to do what you look at and that you maybe struggle with. You think, okay, well, we can get the rest of the league to struggle with that. Tonight was going to be a tough night, especially in the sense of you knew these guys wanted to come out here. And the Brewers want to hit the long ball. People know that. Lucchesi was another one earlier in the year. I don't care if I'm mispronouncing his name. He dominated the Brewers when we were out in San Diego. I want to say he threw seven scoreless innings against the team. Tomorrow, early attack mode is vital for this club.
You got to jump on him tomorrow. And that's what I was hoping for tonight, too, that that you could get Lament here early on and put up a three-zip. I thought if they scored three or four runs in the first inning, and I know that's, I mean, that's a tall task, but if indeed they did tonight, they were going to sweep them. And that was going to be a two-victory thing here. Had they just run away with this win? Okay, that didn't happen. They got to bounce back. This is a San Diego Padres club that now leads you 4 of 6 games head-to-head this year. So for all that are saying that, well, they need to make hay over these types of teams, that's baseball for you. And the Brewers are in a position where they, the reality was, that they should be taking 3 of 4 against the San Diego Padres, and they're right there to do that. So, and we all knew they weren't going to take it off the sheet. Things happen. Can we get an update on that Cub-Reds game?
Yeah, it's right now with Kyle Schwarber at the dish. Kyle Schwarber just struck out. But my man, Amir Garrett, I love this dude. Booking it off the field. This is the guy that went and charged the entire
That's
Pirates.
Right.
Dugout. He just got yelled at apparently for showing a little bit too much emotion after striking out Schwarber and just booked it off of the field. So they're going into extras at Wrigley tied at 2.
So who was giving him grief for showing too much emotion?
It appeared that the umpire was yelling at him for I don't know, but it appeared that his emotion may have been intertwined with some profanity. So I think maybe it was get off of the field yelling that stuff. There are kids here.
Okay, so they go to extras then.
Yeah, they're going to extras, Reds and Cubbies down at Wrigley. And obviously we talked about it a little bit now, 3 back in the division with the Cardinals getting the win over the Nationals today.
Yeah, Brewers, that's where they sit with 10 to play, 3 out of the division. Now, that is becoming a critical point here, and we'll talk about that after the break here, but you cannot fall anything further tomorrow than 3 or the division will be over. Can we all agree with that?
Yes, we can agree with that, Tim.
4 out with 9 to play.
Yeah, that's going to be a task that I don't know if anybody could be up to.
Okay, so Brewers need to get that win. Reds would be kind for them to help us out here with a victory over the Chicago Cubs and keep that as a tie in the wild card 2 position. Once again, you're listening to the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag Admirals50. Big crowd at Miller Park. End result, a 2-1 Brewers loss. We'll be back on The Fan.
Pitching is nearly everything in baseball, but it doesn't always go as planned. Let's see who got lit up tonight. Sponsored by Heiser Automotive. Today's your day. Online at Heiser.com.
Well, to the tune of 16 strikeouts, the Brewers' offense got lit up. And that's exactly how you lose 2-1 when you don't get a ball in play. 3 hits, 16 strikeouts, just the 1 run. That's getting lit up with Heiser Automotive. Today's your day. With Heiser.com, Tim and Tausch in a Brewers loss makes it an 82-70 mark and now 3 back in the division as now the Cubs and Reds game into extras, and we await the final there to see if indeed the Brewers will trail the Cubs by a game in the wild card 2 spot. With the Washington Nationals loss, and the Brewers still sit at a game and a half back from Washington, is that correct?
Yes. I have to do the math here 1 second quickly on the old calculator as I'm trying to make sure that I keep my math correctly here. With Washington losing today, Tim, and the Milwaukee Brewers as well, they remain a game and a half back of the Nationals for first place in the National League wild card.
Yeah, the wild card 1 position. So we'll see what happens. But 10 games remaining here in the 2019 championship season, still well within reach. And with the 10 games left, I would think the final game here against San Diego, and then you have the 3 3-game sets, so one against the Pirates, one against the Reds, And then your final three-game set in Denver against the Rockies. But I would assume that your goal would be of the 10 games remaining, based on the competition, I would think seven is that reasonable goal. I think seven's right there. You can maybe do a tick better, but even six is going to put you in position to maybe get in. And the reason I say the six, Billy, is because we don't know on the Cubs or Cardinals if it's going to be a lopsided seven-game affair. I don't know if you want that going in, because I'm trying to process all of this. Do you want a lopsided affair? Because indeed, then it would, because this is the way you got to think about it. If it is one team of the Cardinals or Cubs winning six of the seven, and the Brewers just win at a, you know, decently moderate rate,
mm-hmm.
It does kind of put them in, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it would basically cement you into the wild card spot, and you'd be locked in to go face Max Scherzer and the Nationals.
Now, if indeed the Brewers fall any further than the three back in the division they're at now, then I think it's an easy route four kind of scenario, and that is a Cardinal runaway against the Cubs. And then you would want it a lopsided affair. However, on the other hand, if it goes lopsided the other way and the Brewers continue to win, then you could have an absolute scrum at the top of the division in the Central. It could be, I'm just saying, guys, it could be down to the single final game where potentially we could have a three-way tie in the division, quite honestly.
Now, do we know how that goes? Do we know how that ends up getting sorted out? Because the Brewers lose the season series to the Cardinals. They win the season series against the Cubs. So in that sense, I don't know if you would need even the coin flip situation that is sometimes brought in, I remember, with the three-way ties on who goes where.
It is something that with this playoff format that you rarely see those types. Now, last year we saw a couple of ties for the division title.
Mm-hmm.
We saw two game 163s. But in that case, Brewers, Cubs, and Cardinals all tie in the Central for the division title. We'll look that up. 799-1250. If you want to join the conversation to Waukesha, we say hello to Jim. Jim, you're on the Fan. Tough loss tonight.
Hi, Tim. I wanted to talk about all these hitters that are taking called strike threes. That just makes me livid. My high school baseball coach taught us that when we have two strikes, you move a little closer to the plate and choke up a little on the bat and swing at anything and everything that you think the umpire might call strike three. And after the game, no matter how hot and humid it was or how cold and freezing it was, we had to run from foul line to foul line for each time one of our hitters was called out on strike three. He didn't care if we struck out swinging, but God help anyone who was called out on strike three.
Jim, where did you play high school baseball at?
Marquette.
Oh, nice. Okay. What was your average when you were batting?
It was over 400.
Oh, there we go.
Nice.
All right, Jim.
And
there we go.
I never was called out on strike three. I struck out a lot of times, but
dang
it was
right.
Swinging. And I know these guys are guess hitters, but guessing with two strikes and then taking a fastball right down the middle for strike three, when I see that, I just go crazy. How can these guys do that?
Yeah, Jim, it's a good point, and it's the reason why baseball has changed over the years. Thanks for the call. And there's a couple of reasons for that. Walks are up, strikeouts are up, and home runs are up. And that's what you're seeing in baseball. Now, that's it's a number of reasons, one of which, and I think the biggest of which, is that the pitching is just so volatile at times. You got guys that are throwing 95 to 100.
You got dudes throwing stupid gas with nasty, nasty sliders.
Multiple guys doing it. I mean, years ago, Jim, if you recall, you had one dude couple of guys per division that were like 96, and you just went, whoa, 96? Can you believe this guy? Now that's just a normal standard thing. The Brewers, you could probably name five of them in that bullpen right now that are gassing 96. So it is a little bit different. And when you're facing some of the nasty sliders, it is I think it's one of the most developed pitches in all of baseball the last few years is that slider. It used to be, prior to that, it was the changeup. And the changeup can be really nasty these days, too. Don't get me wrong. But that slider, it is just so tough. And we saw it tonight. Now, I will say, Lamet was, I thought, a little lucky on his slider. I don't want to take too much away from him, Billy, because I want to give credit where credit's due. He had an outstanding night tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But there was times where he was missing on the slider up. He was missing on the slider away a little bit and getting away with it.
The one to Yasmani Grandal with one out in the fifth inning, two on, one out, men at second and third. You talked to Yasmani after the game, after a couple of cold Triple A Beaufortings, and, I mean, this dude would be livid with himself because that slider got hung up there. Tim, you couldn't have framed it in the middle of the K zone on Fox Sports any clearer. I mean, it was right in the middle, just swung right underneath it. And a lot of it is, I'm not going to lie and say here that I was a tremendous baseball player. There's no way I would have been touching it. But in those senses, you know, with these guys, that's a pitch that he wishes he had bat.
Jim, however, just to finish up your conversation, I will say this. I agree with you. And if I'm putting together a baseball team, I want contact hitters. So I'm with you, and that's not necessarily the norm. I am with you, though. This portion of the program brought to you by Baby Shade and Blind, providing the highest quality window fashion since 1926. More at babyshade.com. We say hello to Bob. He called the fan. Hey, Bob.
Tim, we were at the game tonight. We go to about half the games, and it was a very frustrating night sitting in the stands because when the play happened with Grisham, there was no replay in the stadium at all for us fans, and nothing was put on the scoreboard explaining it. And when the umpire finally just made the out call, the PA announcer didn't tell us anything. We still didn't have any idea what happened until we got on the radio after the game. You know, you want to make the games the same good experience as sitting at home, and it wasn't. And they didn't show the replay of the home run early in the game. We couldn't tell if it was off Gamble's glove or off the wall. It happened real fast. The Brewers have to do a better job of entertaining the fans. And this has been a problem all season, not showing replays on things the other team does. The right field corner is blind to a lot of the seats. Can't see plays down there when a guy makes a nice catch. They never replay that either. I don't know. I wish there was someone at the Brewers we could complain to about this.
Yeah, I don't get to these days.
They all listen to this show, Bob, so you did the right thing.
Yeah, for sure. I don't get to as many games as I would like to. Is that standard? Have they ever done that? Because I didn't know that they would do that, explain a play after it happened. Have they done that recently?
I don't think so, and to my knowledge. But, you know, if you go to a football game or basketball game, you do get that. And I just think it's just a common courtesy, especially now that you have all the umpire challenges and things. But nothing was said. And so we got to go to our phones in the stands just to try to figure out what's going on. That shouldn't happen. You pay your $35, $40, and you still don't know what's going on.
You know what? I hadn't either, and I agree with you, Bob. Mm-hmm. I would like the explanation, and I think that's what the NFL has done. You're right. But could you imagine an umpire that is, you know, flips his battery pack on his side hip and flips the microphone on and says, ruling on the field as he's out at the plate. It was a dead ball. Hit the base runner's foot.
Oh, come on! Come on!
You gotta be kidding me!
What are you looking at?
Come on, Blue!
Come on! Oh, man. Thanks,
Wouldn't
Bob.
Wouldn't that be something?
That would
Bob,
be wild.
Good stuff. Now, Bob, I just want not to pile on Miller Park, because I am appreciative that thing stands where it stands, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep it quiet while the other guys are rallying. That's all I want. That's all I want.
Again.
That's all. That's 27 or 28 other parks around the nation do it that way. I don't know why you think you got to be different. I don't know.
Well, we want to be a little different, Tim. We just want to be a little different.
Different is okay.
Yeah, see, it's all right. Yeah. Even ask Craig Counsell. I mean, he might be a little bit different.
We're going to get into Craig Counsell, see what he had to say about that play as well. You're listening to the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag Admirals50. Brewers, tough one tonight, 10 to play after a 2-1 loss.
So, what's the skipper got to say about this game? Let's find out. Here's the scoop from the skipper, brought to you by Bryant and Stratton College Athletics, offering athletic scholarships in 15 junior college sports. Learn more at bscbobcats.com. This is the only station Brewers fans need before and after the game. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Yeah, 2-1 loss tonight and a tough one. Three hits and just a run given up. Pitching staff, however, did their job. That's a good thing. These guys have been dynamite. Billy, through this run, and they're still on the run, don't get me wrong. These guys, this pitching staff, both the starters and the bullpen, you couldn't ask for anything more. Seriously.
Yeah, no doubt. And the tough part is, Tim, it's going to be the narrative at the end of the year. You and I both know it. We've been talking about it for a long time. The narrative at the end of the year is the Brewers don't have enough pitching. Their pitching just isn't good enough. They would have been able to win more games if they could pitch better. And really,
nope.
It's tough because you look at what this offense was built to do, what this offense was designed to do. It was designed to outscore people, and the pitching staff is doing exactly what you expected from them, to keep you in ball games, to win games, and they've done that a lot.
Yeah, and I'm a little nervous in that same vein. I'm a little nervous about this offense here. I am. Guys, I am. And that's what – if there's anything I'm nervous about, it is the offense right now. And that hasn't changed. It really – even throughout the run, throughout earlier in the season, and definitely in May and June, that has been at the top of my nervous list. And right now, they're striking out a lot, guys. They're striking out a lot, and we'll give respect to the other guys, too, at times. But you have into the teens in strikeouts in back-to-back games. You're lucky to be 1-1 in these past two games, yesterday and today, for sure. Well, let's get to Craig Counsell. Ire up in that seventh inning, a questionable call. And what the bummer is that we all, as Brewers fans, whether you're watching it on TV, listening on the radio, or at Miller Park, as Bob just pointed out, we all thought this game was tied. And had it been tied at that point, they'd probably go on to win it. Let's face it, they probably would have, even if it were to go into extras. So let's see what Craig Counsell had to say about that and this 2-1 loss.
Craig, did you get a satisfactory answer on that Grisham
pick? Well, it's the umpire's judgment, basically, whether Trent, the fact that it hit Trent hindered the ability of the fielder to make the play.
And he basically just told you, in his view, it did.
Yeah, at first he did not, and then he did, yes.
So it's not automatically interference just because it hit him. It has to have an effect on the play.
If the umpire deems it has an effect on the play, then it's the umpire's judgment whether it had an effect on the play.
And the home plate umpire didn't see it?
No. No, and I understand the home plate umpire not seeing it, yeah.
Such a small thing, Craig. Then the home run, bouncing off the top of the wall, a couple of sort of small things having a big impact on the ball game.
Well, yeah, I mean, you get in a 2-1 game, and that's the things we're going to all look at. We weren't offensive enough tonight. We didn't score enough. We didn't put enough pressure on the other guys tonight. So they pitched well. The Lamet was outstanding. We had some. You got to hit that guy's fastball, and we just didn't. A couple guys squared it up, but we didn't get good swings on his fastball. He's got a great slider.
What makes that slider so tough?
Well, the velocity of the fastball obviously helps, and it's just a really good slider. I mean, it's just it's a hard spinning slider. It kind of backs up to lefties sometimes, and that makes it that's a good pitch sometimes. And then it's down in the dirt. A little bit. It, frankly reminded me of Patrick Corbin a little bit of the Nationals, kind of that kind of night when the guy's got a really good slider working that you got to, you know, sometimes you got to get the fastball is the one you got to hit.
Is his fastball tough to pick up, Craig? Because it looked like a lot of guys are taking it too. And I know he had some
insight. Yeah, I mean that's what happens. You're trying to see spin, and you know you get caught. You can get caught in between. It's especially with that velocity.
What was the concern with Adrian?
He had some mid back tightness. It resolved itself, and he was fine, and he's pretty asymptomatic coming out of the game.
That had nothing to do with him coming when he did. That was just the pitching change because it was time.
Yeah.
You think it affected that at bat? That was the home run at bat. Their only runs of the game.
I don't have an answer for you.
Greg, how about the way he pitched pretty well?
Yeah, he pitched great. I mean, he pitched well, but a mistake in a game like that against a pitcher like that is what gets you. I believe it was 0-2. It's a guy, he did a really nice job to a lot of their hitters. That's a guy he has to get out.
It looks like the one thing, you know, the Padres don't have a winning record, but they look like they have some really good arms in their rotation. That Paddock guy last night was tough, and I think that Lucchesi guy tomorrow should do a really good game against you guys in San Diego. So they do have some good arms, it seems like, in their rotation.
Yeah, I mean, this is a team with a lot of good pieces, in my opinion. There's, we have to. It's been tough for us to score this series. They got pitching pieces for sure. Definitely the starters we faced the last 2 days are. Those are nice, two nice pitchers.
Playoff push baseballs can be unforgiving, right? I mean, you won 10 out of 11, and then you lose one, and it feels like really tough to lose one. But it's your team's been winning a lot of games.
Yeah, look, I mean, we lost a tough game tonight. We battled good. Just didn't get you win 10 out of 11 or 11 out of 12, you're catching a lot of breaks. Tonight maybe we didn't catch the breaks. We probably also didn't do enough offensively to create our own, create some breaks for us. But, they pitched well. Their guy pitched well.
Hasn't had some really good swings on, that. After the home run, he drove another ball to the wall. So that must
feel... Yeah, no, it's good to have him back in the lineup for sure. And he looks like he's picking up where he left off. So that's a good sign for us. We need definitely offensive production is something we're going to need going forward here.
Let's add this one up, Brewers fans. Time to go inside the box score. Brought to you by the Laborers International Union, Local 113. Feel the power. At LIUNA113.org.
Yeah, I'm right there with Craig Counsell. We just talked about it before we heard from Counts is the offense, and they're going to need it. They're going to need it now more than ever for guys to step up. They've been doing just enough. They really have been doing just enough. But when you don't. When you don't do even that, then
you don't do
anything.
It's tough. Right. Yes. Yeah. It's tough to win games when I'm reading a box score like this.
It is tough. Before we get to the box score, this dude's been holding on for quite some time. Our buddy in Anaheim, Vincent. What's up, Vince?
Hey, man. Wait, what's up, man? Man, this is what I'm talking about, man. It's miss that. You're right, man. These club games, man. You kind of get angry about them, man, because it was that close. I was looking at the box score, but I didn't check the strikeouts. I didn't know it was that bad because I was going to blame the offense. But, if the other guy's doing good, and these guys, like I said, we got some rookies in there, got some guys that are not, like, scary guys, like Sandberg. Man, that guy used to play for the damn Padres. But, as long as he gets the job done, and I didn't know that it has that controversial call right there, man. That would have made me mad if I was listening. I probably started screaming.
Oh, everybody was losing it. Not only that, yeah. I don't know if you saw it, Billy, on TV, or those of you at Miller Park that saw it. I don't know if that ball shouldn't have been caught, that home run ball, by either Gamble or Grisham.
Well,
out there.
I would have had it, but you know me, I'm also an elite level athlete.
Exactly,
true.
Exactly, Baby Touch would have had it out there, man. And they sign you, man. They sign you. But, man, it's pretty crazy, man. But like I said, you just got to believe in it. You can't win them all. That's what I go back to. That's what kind of calms me down. But the offense, I've always been worried about it, man. I've always been worried about it since day one. After, you know, after a while, they weren't doing what they're supposed to do. But it sucks for the pitching, man. You know, he gave up two runs, but our offense should have did some more for us to help us out to win the game. But I like that Chris Kessler here got that home run, man. You know, good to have him back. Hopefully we can finish him off, and hopefully the Reds can help us out. And at the end of the day, look, the St. Louis and Cubs thing, I'm going to look at it this way. I want the St. Louis to beat the Cubs, and then at the end when they play against each other, you know, as long as we keep winning, we'll be ahead of the Cubs, then the Cubs can beat St. Louis and see what happens.
I think the easy answer, all right, Vincent, take it easy. We'll talk again, I'm sure. The easy answer, go back and forth, I guess, win, then lose, and win, then lose. Just go back and forth, trade victories. Let's get an update from the Chicago and Cincinnati game.
Right now, Tim, in the bottom half of the 10th inning after your boy, Jose Iglesias, got a run in the top half of the 10th inning. There's one down, man on second base with wow. Two down for Jason Hayward at the dish. Cubs down 3-2 against the Cincinnati Reds.
All right, that would be nice to hold firm right there, and we'll get that to you as soon as that game goes final, and hopefully it's on the next pitch and not a walk-off home run. That would not be good.
That wouldn't be what you wanted?
No.
That's not what you were hoping for?
I definitely don't want that. Well,
it appears the game cast is showing three lit boxes in the strike column. That would constitute as a strikeout from Jason Hayward. But I don't know exactly if this thing is messed up or not.
We'll let it filter through, let it go through that,
and then we'll give you the final.
Yes. All right, so we'll take a break here. Offense is going to have to step up tomorrow in the fourth and final game of this four-game set. You talk about a game that a feel-good win, not just win because it's a pennant race, but a feel-good win because you went into a four-game set and you sort of expected 3 of 4. We'll talk about that next here on The Fan.
Money talks, but it can't sing and dance.
Game show here on The Fan. Tim and Tausch on a Wednesday night after 2-1 Brewers lost. Timmy, 3-2 Reds beat the Cubs, so with 10 to play, it's Brewers and Cubs tied for the final wild card spot in the standings.
Yeah, we've had some fun with music before, but this is more of a heartfelt connection here with one of our listeners, Billy.
Yeah, man, it was a cool thing last night. I got tweeted by this man, John, and John just reached out to me and asked if I had a quick second. So after the show, I wanted to reach out and see what was going on. And he had just asked me, he said, curious question. My mother passed away on this Monday, and she was a huge Neil Diamond fan, as you can hear by the Neil Diamond behind us, and also a huge Brewers fan. And Linda Rain is no longer with us, and she was a huge Christian Yelich fan, huge Milwaukee Brewers fan, and it was just a quick mention to Brewers fans of the love that this team has and the love that Brewers fans have to it. So, John, our condolences, man, and we're glad that we can be a little bit of a relief for you and remind you that Brewers baseball spans for all of us. Timmy, my mom's one of the first people that I went to Brewer games with and love baseball. And you've met my mom. You know how much of a huge baseball fan she is and a Brewer fan she is. It hit home. So, John, appreciate you reaching out, man. That was really, really cool. And
rest in peace, Linda.
Yeah, and wanted to say Linda is going to be cremated in a Christian Yelich shirt. So her Brewer fandom will live on like I know a lot of other ones have already.
No, and your mother, speaking of which, your mother, she's so into this that she actually texted you tonight and said the Brewers miss Christian Yelich.
Yeah, she told me that the Brewers did miss Christian Yelich in this game. I know that was It was pretty stunning, but they did. Yeah, they did. They definitely did miss Christian Yelich.
And they do, and because they've been winning without him, though, in all reality and seriousness, it's almost, you didn't completely forget that he's not there, but it eased the pain for sure when they were winning at the clip they're winning, both with Yelich and then after the injury, they continued to win like that, so it did ease the pain a little bit of the loss of Yelich in the lineup on a regular basis.
You've almost kind of forgotten about it here until it gets brought up to you again.
Until it's a game like this. Then it really stands out. I would imagine in this baseball game at 2-1, guys, this is one he'd have made the difference with. That's a tough pill to swallow here for the Brewers. But you rest on... They were not going to win the rest of their baseball games, and I'm not convinced they will win the remainder of the 10 games that are left.
No.
I would say that 7 or 8 would put you in a position to play baseball after the regular season, and we're right there, Brewers fans. We are right there. It's a huge game tomorrow as we do a little forward thinking with Forward Financial Partners at FFPWI.com. It's a situation where I'm not sure that just a couple of runs is going to get it done tomorrow. And the reason why is I'm not convinced you can hold Manny Machado. As much as we all hate him, he's 1-for-9, I believe, in this series thus far. And there was an impact hit. Luckily, it was at Moustakas in this game tonight. It didn't turn out to matter too much, but an impact hit could be coming from him, and you don't want it to be a game changer or a game winner. That's the thing we have to look forward to tomorrow, because just to hold him down, boo the living daylights out of him.
Just keep it going. It's amazing. I love every second of it, Tim. It's one of the more epic troll jobs we've seen in pro sports in a long time.
No, it's one of the more epic, as you say, troll jobs in Brewers history. Let's face it. I mean, I think you had Reggie Chance. Now, again, not to sound like Chuck Freeman, but going back to County Stadium, you did have the Reggie Chance out there for Reggie Jackson. I think any Daryl that comes up back in the day was a Daryl kind of thing going on.
So what, you'd chant Daryl?
For whatever reason. I'm not sure why. I don't know really where it came from, but there was a player named Daryl Boston that bounced around the league a little bit. He'd come up and everyone would be yelling Daryl, and I'm like, what is this?
Daryl Boston sounded like a jerk. But there's the idea of different things you can do. That's a good one, chanting the name. As somebody that used to be a prominent member of student sections, chanting and getting into players' heads, that does work. Also, singing songs while players are at bat, that works. Not necessarily pump-up songs, though, while the opponent is in the middle of a rally, as you always talk about on this program.
Yeah, you don't want to do that, but...
You want to do, like, the SpongeBob song, or, like, sing happy birthday to somebody.
I would much prefer the booing for Manny Machado rather than the Manny.
Right.
Or I don't want to hear that.
Sing, like, the SpongeBob SquarePants theme song instead of chanting Manny, because he'll enjoy that part of it.
Yeah, I love the booze, and it's just every time he comes up now, we started out the show with this, and we'll end it with it as well. It's funny to me. It's super cool and funny.
It is funny, and it's a good... It warms your heart a little bit, because I know you get frustrated with the lack thereof sometimes of the prominent MVP chance. Does this make up for it a little bit?
It does. I'm very impressed. Number one, with the attendance figures and that Brewers pennant race baseball has caught fire here. It has. We're seeing it front line, front story here, and getting a little ahead of the Green Bay Packers situation here midweek.
Ooh, and 2-0 Green Bay Packers. Like this isn't a team with no storylines. That's saying something.
We're going to go back at it tomorrow. It's an on-location sort of a mixture of football and baseball tomorrow. I'm really looking forward to this broadcast, Billy. I really am. You get some veteran broadcasters together.
Out? Oh, thanks. Cool. Awesome. Sweet. No, I got you. I got no, you. Sounds good, Alan.
I don't make the schedule.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's going to be nice to talk with some veterans and not this 25-year-old jerk.
No, but it's a show that I've never done before, and in this business I'm all for things that I've never done. And that is a live and on-location show. Who's on first?
Third.
I'm sorry. Who's on third tomorrow night in the third ward? First? Yeah, I don't know.
Is that how it goes, or did I mess that up too?
No, you were good. I don't know.
Millennial.
I don't know. Yeah. who's on third in the third ward tomorrow night? It's where Bill Michaels' huddle is going to be. Now, the Brewer game starts at 3, ends around 6:30. Bill gets on the air at 6. And Dennis Krause is down there. Woo! I'm going to join these guys, talk some football, talk some baseball, and hopefully the Brewers can get this victory tomorrow to take 3 of 4, keep themselves in a position to play baseball after September 29th, and that's the goal, hit the postseason. But again, Bill Michaels, Dennis Krause, myself, and Scott Grodzki as well. So we have a nice panel to talk Brewers baseball tomorrow, Baby Shade and Blind postgame show. Presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag Admirals50. Welcome back, Pipe Bomb, going through some health things, and it's good to see him back on his feet. And in the studio here for Baby Tosh, Bill Schmid, my name is Tim Allen. There'll be better days. Keep the faith here. 10 to play. Brewers 12 over and tied for the wild card 2 position with those Cubs. Despite the outcome tonight, folks, smile, Milwaukee. The world will smile back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.